Welcome to another Petcast podcast episode of the podcast Tripping on Life. I'm your host Visha, and I'm sitting in the garden again, just like I did the first episode. And it has rained, it's still raining, and I don't know if the cars that are passing behind the garden are even louder than before. Anyway, if you hear some noise, it's probably that. I started this recording without really knowing what I'm going to talk about. And I think I'll just see what comes up, and hopefully I will think of something. Otherwise, this will be a very awkward, long, silent podcast episode. I think I can tell you about that yesterday I brought a cat to the vet clinic. It's a really cute male cat. I think he's not castrated. We called him Hector. And I don't think he has a home. He looks very rough. He doesn't look malnourished. Like, he still looks pretty okay for a cat that might not have a home. But it looks like he was not castrated. He still wants to come inside the house. And I've heard from other people that he's also trying to get into their house. So it feels a little bit like a cat without a home. I know there are cats with homes that are still trying to get in everyone's house, but this was different. I felt like he really wanted to seek some shelter and some love. And he has been laying outside here on the bench, on the couch. They have this beautiful outdoor lounge set where I'm renting a room. And there's this roof above it, so it's a very nice cozy place to be at. And he has slept here for a whole night and day, and then the next days he was still around here. So it just made me think, if you're sleeping here, like, don't you have a home? Where do you go at night? I don't know. So I put him on a Facebook group. No one really responded about knowing who the owner was. They did say that they have seen him around for a long time and that he's always peeing everywhere. Anyway, I took him to the vet, which was interesting because we kind of fed him a couple times just to make sure that he came back. If I would have known that he had an owner, or if he looked like great, I wouldn't just feed someone else's cat. But this time I thought he could use it. And then we looked for a chip at the vet clinic. I bought this giant cage for him at the secondhand store, which I think was pretty nice for him because he's not used to being in a cage. I mean, cats are not used to being in a cage. And the vet was like, oh my gosh, you brought like a giant cage for him. It's a bit like one of those cages that some people put their dog in when they leave to go to work, or they leave for a little bit, just so the dog doesn't break the house down. That was the kind of cage I have for the cat. And in the car, he was pretty mad at me. But it's okay. We checked, he didn't have a chip. Then I let him go again, because, you know, he's walking around here anyway. And I can now consider calling the cat shelter to come and pick him up. Because I'm like 99% sure I could grab him again and put him in the cage again. Otherwise, I wouldn't have let him go. Or I thought I could ask my friends if they want to have a cat. And I can put him on some websites to see if someone is looking for him, or I can look on the websites myself and see if someone is looking for him. I don't know what it's like in different parts of the world, but we have a website. It's called Ami Fadi, and it's, if you find an animal, you can put him on the website, and if you lost an animal, you can put him on there too. So yeah, we're gonna have a look, and I just think it would be so nice if I can bring him, for example, to a farmer that I know. I know she had a cat before, and I don't know, I just really like knowing what happens to the animals when you bring them away somewhere. I don't know, it just the idea of bringing him to the shelter and then never knowing if he's gonna go to a nice home, it just doesn't feel right. So I'm probably going to do that, like just ask around, and if I can't find anyone, I will absolutely bring him to the cat shelter, because this beautiful little cutie needs a loving home, a home where he's welcomed in the door and not scared off, because you can see that people have yelled at him, you know, you can tell by his body language that he has tried to get inside someone's house, and when you open the door slightly, he like runs away, but I think because he is used to being like scared away. And also I wanted to change his water, because I put a water bowl outside. I wanted to change his water, so I poured the last bit of water in the garden, and he got so scared. And I know some people, they fill up like a cup of water and they throw it on the cats that they don't want in their garden. So I wonder if that's what happened. Yeah. Educated as a, or how do you say that? I studied to become a vet nurse, and I worked in that profession for some time. I'm currently looking for a change. I think in my last job, there were a lot of really worst case scenarios coming in. I mean, it's quite usual that a lot of worst case scenarios come in, but the clinic I worked in, I felt like they didn't have enough people working there anyway. I didn't completely trust my colleagues, and I don't know, it just wasn't an ideal situation. Plus, in the break, I didn't even feel the energy to talk to my colleagues or to discuss certain cases that have happened. And I think when you're a vet nurse, it's really necessary to sometimes like ventilate and talk through the feelings that you have with certain cases, because sometimes it just feels very unfair and very like horrible, the things that you see and the choices people make or how people have treated animals. So I talked about this topic with my previous employees, two really, really kind vets that are a couple, they're married, they had their own clinic, and I worked there many years ago. And I talked about exactly this, that I couldn't talk about it with the people at work because it was just no time and it was just so chaotic. And they were like, yeah, it's very important to just talk about it. And I think in their clinic, you know, when we had a coffee or during lunch or even in between, we were able to just discuss certain things. Like when certain things are really difficult, or yeah, it's a tough job. And I think that when I started the job, I was like, I can do it, it's fine. Like, no, I can handle all that, I can do it. Like, and I could. But I think that the things that you see, they're so horrible. Like, if you're lucky, you maybe have to put your animal to sleep. Like, maybe you will have five animals in your entire life that you love, and that at some point they die or you have to put them to sleep. Maybe five, maybe a little more. That's what you have in your entire lifespan. And then as a vet nurse, you get to see hundreds of animals. Like, you get to see so many animals die. It's so heartbreaking, because some cases are very unfair. or someone calling from their holiday destination and just deciding, yeah, you just put her to sleep, even though she can be saved. And then the vets, they get along, or how do you say, they continued to give this person their wish to kill the dog. And I don't know, I think I treat every animal, and this is my mistake that I make in my job, is that every animal that comes in, I treat them as if they are my own pet. I feel no difference in a patient versus my own animal. So also when I am, like, I really care about them so deeply because I care about them like they're mine. And I know that some of my colleagues are better at keeping the distance more. And yeah, I don't know. It's like a blessing and a curse to care so much, because I do think that I could do my job well in a way that I could care for them very, very well. And I could see a lot of things, and I have a lot of empathy, and I think I'm able to catch things quickly. And that is very useful in my job. But then when horrible things happen, it hurts me as if my own animal dies, or if my own animal is hurt. So that is not really a sustainable way of doing that job. And I think I'm quite a sensitive person. I think I'm a... I think there is a name for it, where you're... I think in the Netherlands, I think maybe it's the same short way of saying HSP, hypersensitive person. It's just when you're very sensitive to other people's energy, and you just notice a lot of things that other people don't notice, and sometimes a little hard to not get influenced by other people's energies, or it's the same thing. It's a blessing and a curse if you don't know how to deal with it. So I think I realized that I needed a break after my last job. Also, I got injured, which made me have to stop for a little bit, and it kind of gave me perspective. So I'm taking a break from this job, this field, and I actually applied for a job in the school. It's a high school, and in that high school they have the topic animal care, and they have a topic about plants, and they have classes about art, and I don't know, the school overall seems really nice, like the things that I hear. And it would be great, I think, if I could pass on some of the knowledge that I have that could be very useful, because I remember going to school and studying animal care, and I thought it was so fucking boring because we didn't really go into depth. Like, at the end of the whole study, I didn't feel like I learned shit. And I think if you have someone in front of the class that already has this experience with, as you know, as a vet nurse, I think you can teach a lot more. You can go more into depth, I think. I mean, that's what I really missed when I was doing the animal care education. But then again, this is high school, so they're just kind of getting a taste of what's possible. But then again, maybe if I can show them how interesting it is, how, you know, to monitor animals, and how to differentiate healthy and not healthy behavior, and do all the basic checks. I think it can be very empowering to have that knowledge with you, because I think that's what brought me into this field is that I wanted to help animals. I wanted, when you know, when I saw an animal in need, I didn't want to feel so useless, you know, like I wanted to know what I could do to help. And if I could, I want to save all the animals. I want all of them to be happy and healthy and thriving. But it's only so much we can do as one person. So I talked about this with someone, how I feel like I am too involved emotionally when it comes to being a vet nurse. And I still really, really would like to make a difference in some way. I really would like to help and be part of the sort of the web of people that are helping other animals, or are helping animals and humans, and just, you know, making the world a better place. So we discussed a little bit about what that could look like. And I think in the last couple of years, I have done a yoga teacher training, and I have done a sound therapy course, and I read a lot about psychology, and I'm listening to a lot of psychology podcasts just because I think that's very interesting. So, oh yeah, and also dance, like just a lot of embodiment and somatic kind of work. And in Sweden, where I lived before, I had some classes in which I mixed up dance, meditation, and sound healing together. And it was so much fun. And anyway, the reason why I wanted to give that to people is because I know how important it is to calm down the nervous system. I know how important it is to regulate, to balance it out. Because otherwise you will burn yourself out. And I know how difficult it is sometimes to not bring your work with you home. So I wanted to create this class where people from various of educations, various of jobs could come to, like doctors, dentists, vet nurses, vets, or teachers, really any kind of education, anyone who feels like they just need a moment to connect back with themselves, with their own energy, connect back to who they are outside of, you know, this world where they're trying to help everyone else. And then to access that self-healing power, that ability to balance their nervous systems and to access this healing ability that we all have inside of us. I wanted to create a space where people could come and access that for themselves, and I could guide them through that a little bit. Because, I don't know, it just feels nice to still be part of that web of people that are trying to heal and bring light into the world and goodness. And if I can be in the front rows, if I can be at the front line, you know, literally stop the bleeding of the animals, and if I can't be in the field like that, maybe I can be a little bit behind the scenes where I make sure that the people who do that have the right amount of balance within themselves to show up in a more connecting, more honoring way, not only to themselves but also to whoever they're serving. I think it's really important to not serve from an empty cup. So I think the space that I wanted to create was to for people to fill their cup first, you know, and to remember them how to do that and to show them that they have the the accessibility wherever they are. So yeah, I think that was something that I've been thinking about. I just haven't really been, I don't know, I haven't been able to really step into that completely. Like, I have done some classes that were super, they were so nice, and I had such a great feedback, and it's been amazing. I feel so grateful and energized and amazed to be surrounded by people that are dancing and connecting to themselves, and to see everyone being on their own individual journey while sort of being together. And yeah, it's just, I can feel that I am in this phase of my life where I'm unsure how I can create this space for people. And I think I'm still holding myself back quite a lot, because I'm very doubtful about a lot of things. Like I said in, I think in the first podcast, sorry, like I said in the first podcast, I think it's like I have this issue with like commitment and accountability and just showing up. I think I have a hard time choosing something. I have all these ideas. This is just one of the many ideas that I have. And it's almost as if I choose one thing, that I'm saying no to all the other things, even though I don't want to say no to them either. But at the same time, I cannot choose everything at the same time. So it creates this really, it's like this, I don't know, this non-decision stress. And I'm trying to figure out how to go forward. And yeah, I'm really curious to see what will happen and how I can show up, not only for myself, but for others as well. A couple days ago, I did a guided visualization meditation with a 12-year-old girl. And she was so excited. She was so excited about how it went. And it was a beautiful guided visualization meditation where she meets her spirit animal and where she gets to meet a flower that's going to give her a message. And she was just so excited about how her brain could take her on this beautiful journey. And I think she felt very empowered by the message that she got. And the same night, she had a beautiful dream about the trials that life can throw at her, because the message that she got was something along the lines of, you choose what you want and let no one change that. And in her dream, she had this like trial where people were saying, oh, you shouldn't do that, that is stupid, blah blah blah. And she just has to like keep walking, keep choosing her path, keep choosing what she wants to do, no matter how hard the outside world might scream at her for how stupid, or you know how sometimes like people are judging, sometimes people who haven't walked that path are judging. So it's like, why would you take advice from someone who hasn't walked the path that you're about to walk? And some people, they just judge because they're jealous or they're insecure, they might envy you, or there are many reasons why people say that you shouldn't do something. And I think it's very beautiful that at her age that she's so self-aware. And I don't know, it just melts my heart to be able to facilitate an environment and an experience like that. And I don't feel like I'm doing much. I feel like I'm just the voice guiding, which is really what I am, and creating the space. But I'm so amazed by their ability themselves to create or this experience and to be open enough to receive the message and to really hear it enough to even dream about it. It's, I don't know, it just gives me this really like nice feeling. And she's really excited about meditation and connecting to, you know, all those things. And I think it's a beautiful thing. So I don't know, I'm just trying to figure out what I want to do, because it feels difficult in a way, because I'm not going the general direction. I'm not just like, oh, I'm just gonna work in a hostel, or I'm gonna work as a vet nurse, or I'm gonna work behind the register in a supermarket. I feel like what I'm trying to do is I mixed up my own version of creative ideas that I love and have worked for me, and it's all kind of pointing to nervous system regulation, which is, and connecting to source and self. But it's so, because I think because it comes from me, and there's not really, in my mind, I don't feel like I could get hired by someone else. And that makes it seem very difficult, because that means that I have to start to work for myself, even though that sounds lovely in my mind to not have a boss. But maybe I should be looking into maybe some jobs that are like a yoga teacher job, and I could probably see if I can add my own spin to it anyway at the end. I don't know, I feel a lot of resistance towards investigating self-employment, like having my own company, just because it's just so much of the unknown that I don't know about, obviously. So I don't know. And then of course I have 1,000 more ideas, because I love painting, I love drawing. I was at a birthday party of my friend who turned 27, and he bought an iPad. And I love the program Procreate. And I literally, like 2 days before he asked me if I could come to his party, I had discovered that I can take a picture and I can trace it on Procreate. I don't know, I had never done that before. And then, so 2 days later, he shows me he has an iPad. He bought a new iPad. And at the party, I took pictures of almost everyone, and I traced their faces, and I made them so look so crazy. It was a bit like caricature. I don't know how to say that word. You know when a street artist like draws you in a really weird way? That's kind of what I did. And it was so fun to do that, and it was so fun to see their faces like be shocked but also light up and laugh. And now Kai has, my friend, he has all these like weird memories, like these weird picture memories of people who went to the party. And I don't know, it gives me so much joy. Like even since I was a kid, it gives me so much joy to have pictures that are so repulsive. Like pictures where you just try to look at your absolute worst. I don't know, there's something about it, I just love it, because it's so much more fun than like a regular picture. So that's what I did. I said to them, like, when I took a picture of them, I said, you need to try to be as ugly as you can. And as I was holding the camera, I was like, uglier, uglier, uglier. And then at some point, I take the picture and I trace their ugly faces. And I don't know, it's just, it's so funny. And I love it so much. And when I see an ugly picture, when I see an ugly picture of myself, I do not identify with it. Like, some people, when they see an ugly picture, they can be like, oh my gosh, that is me, I look so ugly. And but it's, yeah, of course you look ugly because you tried to look ugly, but you're still very beautiful if you don't pull that crazy face. Like, yeah, I think it's just it's such a light and almost childish thing to do, and it brought me so much joy. And so I really love drawing. I love drawing. I love illustrating. I love all of that. I think if I could just get hired to go to parties and illustrate everyone, I think I would love my job. I think I would love my job. I think it would be so fun. Or I don't even know how this... It's so difficult when... It feels very difficult when I'm like a creative person, and it's the jobs that I could do, I don't feel like they're usual. It's not a usual 9-to-5 job. So I think that's what I've been struggling with, because also I love writing. I love poems, writing poems. So it's all these areas where it's not very clear what kind of job. Do you hear that bird? I think it's a crow. It's not really clear, like, where I could work or where I could just get hired and it would, like, fit my creative mind and ideas. And I think that's life. Like, you have to choose a thing. You have to choose a thing. And I think that's something I learned as well, that sometimes when you make no choice, you're not really participating in the flow of life. Like, if you make no choice, you're not participating in the flow of life. That could actually, like, that river that you're choosing to jump into, that could actually lead you to things that you wouldn't otherwise have been led to if you didn't just make the first fucking jump. Like, if you made the first fucking step. Even if the first step wasn't really feeling into the complete direction of what you wanted. My friend told me a funny story about participating in the flow of life by choice, where his friend, she wanted to buy a van, even though she couldn't drive it because she didn't have a driver's license. She bought a van, and I think she met the people who owned the van, and they knew someone who also wanted to travel, and they met each other, and now they're best friends, and that person had a driver's license and also wanted to travel the world with a van. So now she found a bestie, and now they're traveling the world together. It's like she just made a choice. She had no plan. She didn't have a full plan. She just made a choice to show up, buy the van. Then she met someone who did have a driver's license, and like, through those people, like, everything just kind of, I'm pretty sure I'm butchering, like, the story a little bit because I don't 100% remember, but that's kind of how it went. Like, she met more people through these people, and then in some way it just kind of unfolded, and it just kind of happened. But if she wouldn't have taken that first step, even though people called her crazy for wanting to buy a van without having a driver's license, which sounds ridiculous if you think about it, but then she still found, somehow she found someone through those people. I don't know, it just, like, this story, it's a perfect example of how when you participate in the flow of life through choice, you will get to the next thing. You're just choosing the next thing that will bring you to the next thing. But if you don't choose at all, no choice is also kind of a choice. But sometimes that can feel very disempowering and very just, yeah, kind of stuck, getting into this like sluggish energy. So, yeah, I guess even though it's difficult to choose sometimes, maybe sometimes choosing something at all could be better than not choosing anything at all. And keeping your mind open to the endless possibilities of how life can unfold. I think one of the craziest things that have ever happened when it comes to this type of stuff, you know, choosing something without having a complete plan, is when I was in Australia. I was there for a year, but in between I flew from Perth to, I think it was Brisbane, and then I took a train. I'm not sure if I'm saying all the places right, but I took a train to Bundaberg? I'm not sure. Bundaberg? I don't know if I'm saying it wrong. I know they have some drinks of this Bundaberg thingy in the store, even here in the Netherlands. And I took a train, so I literally took a flight, I took a train, and then I took a car drive. Because when I was in Perth, I saw an online ad that they needed people to work on their land, and I needed money. I needed a job because I might want to just stay longer in Australia, and you need to have proof that you worked at a farm for I don't know how long. So I did that. I flew there, took a train, and then they picked me up. And it was really weird. When they picked me up, they had these like really loud music in the car, which was very inappropriate music. Like, it was very much like fucking bitches and getting money. And I felt pretty uncomfortable because these were like two guys driving me in the middle of the night to the house where I was going to stay. And these were the people that I had contact with when it came to the job. So that was really fucking weird. But I was like, okay, you know what? I also couldn't really talk with them completely because their English was not so good. But then I got to the house and this German girl is there. And as soon as the guys leave, she looks at me and she says something along the lines of, "You need to leave." And I was like, "What do you mean? We're in the middle of the night. I'm so tired. I took a plane. I took a train. I took a drive. I'm finally here. All I want to do is sleep." But she was like, she told me that they lied to her, that they're not paying as much as they said on the ad. There's almost no work. You have to pay quite a lot per week to stay there. So they're kind of just living off you paying rent. And I was like, what? And she said, yeah, you really have to leave. And she said, the work is so difficult. It's so painful. Because of the way you have to like stand. And it's just, and they said that the work, yeah, everything. It's just, it wasn't the same as how it was in the ad. So I got this really like nasty feeling. I already had a nasty feeling when I was in the car, but then like this German girl telling me to leave as soon as I arrived just made me like question everything, because going from Perth to Brisbane, that is a big, that's quite, that's like going from one side of Australia to the other. Like, I didn't have a plan B, really. I knew that in the area, there would be a Krishna village. And I was thinking that it would be cool if I could go there. So I had contacted them like months ago. But I didn't remember like what dates I used or if I was accepted or not. So that was like the only thing in my mind that I had. I was like, well, maybe I could go to Krishna village, but that was still quite far away. I still needed to take another train and also a car drive, and I didn't know anyone there. And anyway, so in the middle of the night, I decided to leave. I decided to just leave this place because it didn't feel right. Didn't want to get scammed. And I mean, I already felt like I was being scammed because the whole like ad didn't match up with the whole story that the German girl told me. So I was like, I'm just gonna leave. So I unpacked my backpack that was so heavy. I took out so many things and I left them there. And then I texted them, I'm leaving. I don't want to stay. So I just stepped out of the door. And it was super dark outside, and I just started walking, not knowing at all where I was. I never been in that neighborhood, I never been there at all, and I just didn't know where I was. And I was thinking, where should I walk? What should I do? So I decided to look on Google Maps, and I decided to just start walking towards the beach, which was maybe an hour walk. So it's just me walking in the middle of the night with my giant backpack on to the beach, and there was a bench next to the beach, so I took out my little sleeping bag and I laid it down on the bench. It was so cold, and I just felt like I needed to just lay down because this was one fucking crazy day to do all that. And I looked on my phone if someone had like responded to any of the, what was it called again? Like work away things. Because before I found the job, I had contacted some people in the area if I could do work away, but no one had responded. So I thought I should just look around and see if there are any other people that might, that might need me, because I didn't have any place to go at this point. And it would be really great if I could find something soon, you know? So at 3 at night, I get like a notification of a woman who I contacted like a month ago or something. And she said, can you please come to my house in the morning at 8? Because I need help with cleaning and I need help with the kids. And I was like, yes. I was like, yes. And then I thought, where do you live? And you wouldn't fucking believe that she lived only like 10 minutes walking away from where I was. So I subconsciously, I unknowingly was already walking to the place, to the woman that was gonna take me into her house and let me stay there. Because I could have walked every way. I could have gone anyway. She texted me at 3 at night. Later, she told me she's never awake at 3 at night, but she felt like she needed to like go on her phone and text me. It was so strange. So I walk there, I pack up my stuff, I walk there. I'm looking for a place to put my tent because I feel like I really need some sleep. I put my tent down on a stupid angle. My tent is so tiny, it's like a banana tent, and I'm laying with my head down a hill, so all my blood is like rushing through my head, and it's like I can feel my heartbeat in my head, but it was like too small for me to turn around. You kind of have to get out of the tent and get back in again. But it was, I just didn't want to move. I was so tired. And then I heard all these like sounds around my tent, because apparently there were a lot of crabs. It sounded so creepy, and I'm pretty sure I was tenting illegally, just like in between some houses next to a road. But I put my alarm, I looked online when the sun would come up, so I would wake up like 15 minutes before the sun comes up, so I could just take my tent away. And then I walked on the beach, because our house was on the beach side. And I just walked on the beach and I was like, what the fuck is my life? What the fuck is my life? I just left this house, this job that I flew for. And now it's like 7 a.m. I'm on the beach on the other side of Australia, because this woman texts me at 3 p.m, who I texted a month ago. You know, like the whole way everything was kind of lining up. And also that I walked unknowingly almost towards her house, I thought was crazy. So I opened her door. I mean, I knocked on the door. The child opens the door. I see her standing there with like, she's holding her naked baby. There are like two more naked children. And it's chaos. It's chaos. There are toys everywhere. She's like, come in. My name is blah blah blah, and she was like, can you help me like pick up all the toys, and because the carpet cleaner is coming. And I was like, sure. So this whole first day was just me cleaning everything, and it was so chaotic. I was so sleep deprived and tired, because I didn't sleep for shit, like in the tent. I was just laying down listening to the crabs. And but I was so grateful that she texted me, because now I had, this was like my plan B that I didn't even know I had. And while I'm there, also like her house is literally at the beach. So she has this really beautiful house with a beautiful porch. There are like beautiful trees a little bit in front of her house, and then you just see the ocean behind it. It was amazing. And while I'm there, I'm thinking in my mind that I would love to go to Krishna Village in 2 weeks. And I looked on my email, and I see that I have been accepted, actually. Or no, it was in 3 weeks. I had been accepted to Krishna Village in 3 weeks. And I was like, okay, great. And I was like, well, I will figure out how I get there. You know, I have some time now, and I have Wi-Fi. I can just find out how to get there. So at the end of that day, we sit down. She kind of introduces herself more properly, and I introduce myself more properly. And she's like, thank you so much for helping. I couldn't have done this without you. And the chaos was crazy. And then she tells me, she's like, how long do you want to stay, or how long can you stay? And I was like, well, in about 2 to 3 weeks, I need to leave, because I have been accepted at Krishna Village, and I would really like to go there. And she looks at me and she's like, we are going to Krishna Village in about 2 weeks. And I was like, you're kidding. And she's like, no. And she's like, you can totally come with us. And I needed a car. I needed, because we could take the train, but then I needed someone to like drive me. So apparently her ex-husband lives in that area where we get off the train, and he could drive us. So everything was lining up. I only had to like text Krishna Village if I could come 1 week earlier, and that was fine. So from me standing outside of that house without having any plan, to me literally getting a plan on a silver platter, was insane to me. It was insane, because I texted these people a month ago, because that was before I found the job and the place to stay and the rent, like the place that I could rent there. I didn't even think about those things anymore. And that she texted me, like, also she said to me, like, yeah, I'm never awake at 3 at night. I'm never awake. Never. But she just felt like she needed to, like, text me. And I was just laying on this freaking bench next to the ocean, like, 4 minutes away or, like, 10 minutes away from her house. It was insane. And this, like, that was a big leap of faith to just leave that house without a plan. I needed to have, like, faith that somehow things would work out for me. And I don't think often in life I have taken such a random decision without a safety net. But I feel like if you don't take those decisions without a safety net, sometimes you will not know how the universe or God is actually looking out for you. And in that moment, I really felt like things were divinely orchestrated. Like, I think there's this video I saw on Instagram where Mr. Bean is, like, walking off a roof, and then a truck lines up perfectly and another truck, and then he can walk on the other roof, and, like, everything's, like, he's so carelessly walking over all these things. And in the beginning, it looks like he's gonna fall off the roof, but he isn't, because, like, everything is just working out. And I don't know, it was a very special thing to experience. And in the beginning of my trip, when I was still in Perth, I went to Vipassana, and there was this woman named Ash. She was so cool. She said that she didn't have a ride back home yet, but she said, I'm not worried, because I know I will get my ride back home. And I was like, how do you know? And she's like, I just know. She said, I've been living my life like this for so long that I just know that the universe will provide for me. And she's not even surprised anymore when things just magically work out for her. And I was like, well, are you gonna ask people? And she's like, no, I'm not gonna ask people. I just know that people will, like, come to me and tell me that they have a ride for me. And I was like, no way. So then we went into the 10 days. And then after the 10 days, I talked to her, because then you can slowly start to speak more with each other. And then she said that someone came to her and asked her if she needed a ride, because they were going to a market. And she also wanted to go to this freaking market. That was, like, part of the thing. She wanted to see this specific market and on her way home. And this person was going to go to the market and was also living, like, close to where she lives. And they asked her if she wanted to come with them. And I was like, how the heck? I don't know. Ash was this very interesting person. Also, when I was doing Vipassana, for some reason, like, this thought came up in my mind that she was like a chameleon. I don't know why. I just felt like she was a chameleon. She was able to... Sorry. She was able to, like, adapt very beautifully to different situations. But I don't know why chameleon came into my mind. But then after the 10 days, she just told me that she was thinking about, like, when she leaves this place, that she's going to make an appointment with a tattoo artist to get it chameleon tattooed on her leg. And I was like, no way. That's crazy. Because I didn't know much about her at all. It was not like she told me that her favorite animal is a chameleon or something like that. It was just her personality for some reason. It just fit. Anyway, it's really cold outside. I'm shaking. Whew. This is the end of the podcast, I guess. And yeah, I hope you enjoy my random stories, and I hope they made sense. And maybe you hear me next time.